Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th through the 20th verses. Hear now the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in this heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. For whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This passage of scripture is unbelievably familiar to so many people. Even small children have heard this. If they've gone to Vacation Bible School over the course of kindergarten age through fifth grade, they've probably heard this in Vacation Bible School probably three times. It's always in there. It seems like it. It's either the whole week deals with the armor of God, or at least one day is dealing with it. We've all heard it. This book, this letter to the church at Ephesus, is one now that I have preached over the last 6 weeks. I think it's three or four times that I've used passages of scripture from Ephesians. But this letter is a letter to a church. And Paul is wanting them to know that the church is important. It is a part of God's plan for the redemption of the world. It's plan A, because there is no plan B. We are important. The church is important. He's writing the letter to a group of people who have been marginalized. There are Jewish Christians there who are struggling with the fact that their brothers and sisters, their parents, are telling them they can no longer come to the synagogue unless they denounce Jesus or declare that he is not the Son of God. And so they are becoming dead to their relatives. The Gentile Christians are being marginalized because they live in a part of the world, in a time where the Greco-Roman world, where there are multiple gods. And they're being marginalized. And to make things worse, the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians don't get along. And Paul is saying there needs to be unity within the church. It needs to be unity in the church. This book, this letter, is about the body of Christ. It even gets into marriage and how marriages reflect what Jesus, the relationship that Jesus has with the body of Christ. We talked about that last week. And what people have done through the years is, even though this is a letter about the church, when we get to this passage of scripture, they think it is only about me. That I myself am supposed to put on the body, the full armor of God, for me. For me. Not for you, but for my welfare. When those arrows come my way, it is for my good. And we miss out on everything. It makes it difficult because we put on the full armor of God together. We do it together. The body of Christ is important in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul's saying it. Throughout history, people, great leaders of faith, have said it. The body of Christ, a fellowship of believers, a church, a local congregation is important. You go back to John Wesley, he thought it was so important, he made you meet about every day of the week. You would go to the church, the Anglican church, on Sunday to celebrate the sacraments. And you would go to meetings, preaching meetings during the week, and societies and camps and all these things so that you can be together as the body of Christ, holding one another accountable. And as Paul says, prayer, reading the word, and I will say, being in close communion with other Christians is the way that you end up growing in faith and you get to the place where you can put on, you will have the full armor of God. And the reason we have and we use the full armor of God is for the body of Christ. It's not just for us and me. It's not for my canoe only. Because we're all going down this river together in an armada with the same purpose, the same goal, the same dreams, all of it in the body of Christ. It's important to know. Now, I know that all of you have had problems. Some of you have told them to me. Some of them I've witnessed. I've had problems, and you've heard me talk about them. But this is what I know. When I was born into the Methodist Church and the United Methodist Church, when the doors were open and sometimes when they were not open, as a young child boy, I would even break into the church. Didn't do anything wrong. I like to go to church. But when I got to the age of some of our youth who just went off to school, I truly did go to the far country. And I only went to church probably 5 or 6 times in 4 years of being in college. I had a Bible that I took to college. Don't think I opened it. Went to church occasionally. Didn't have a prayer life. Graduate, get married, start getting back in to church. And on April the 15th, 1981, my dad died. Y'all have heard that story. And when that hit me, I needed to stand, and there was no armor. There might have been some armor, but I lost it somewhere between my junior year in high school and my senior year in high school, and it really drifted away and disappeared when I went to college. And so I needed to stand. I needed to help. I needed to be somebody. I could not stand. And the church came around me. There were some people who had the full armor of God. You could tell they had it all. They had the helmet. They had the breastplate. They had the shield. They had the sword. They had the belt. And their feet were fitted. And then there were people who might have only had the belt. And they somebody might have had the breastplate. Somebody else had a shield. Somebody else had a helmet. But they all together encircled my family. And then when my brother died 8 weeks later, they had not gone anywhere. And they changed. Those people wearing the full armor of God changed my understanding of the body of Christ. Because you never know when the arrows are going to come. You have no idea. When you least expect it, sometimes you can see them from a long way off, and sometimes you can't. But we as Christians need to have a full armor of God, because there are always people in our congregation and in our people and that we're close to and our friends that need somebody with the armor. Amen? We need people with armor. Now, I know you know this, because I've seen your armor. In the most brilliant display of armor that I have ever experienced, early in 2017, when on March 31st, George Davis died. There were some of you who didn't have any armor. Maybe had some of it. And there were people with full armor helping people with not enough armor stand up. And there was a lot of people who stood up and stood around and circled night and day, day after day, surrounding Dondra, Mary Catherine, and each other as we all were in severe pain and mourning and grief. Amen. It was absolutely the most horrific and beautiful thing I've ever experienced as a church family. But no sooner than that had happened, on August the 13th, we had a funeral for a 10-day-old baby, the grandson of Ron and Joanne DeFeo. That was painful. And you stood back up and surrounded them. 4 days later, Lily Kate Powell was killed in a car wreck. Some of our armor was knocked off. It was disheveled. The helmets might have been turned sideways. We had been in battle and war for months. But you stood up and surrounded them, as Christ requires of us, as Paul asked of the church of Ephesus, when you're ready to stand, stand and stand firm. And some days some of us had to sit down while somebody else stood up. And there were times when those of us who had the full armor of God on, we were not able to sing the songs of praise and somebody had to sing them for us. It was unbelievable. And now, since last March, we've been in what we've been in. Were we ready for a pandemic that was going to last this long? Was your spiritual life in a place where you had the full armor of God? Or had you been like me, you can't find the armor of God? I was thinking about this in the first service. I thought, there are times in our life that sometimes it would be like me trying to find my deer hunting clothes. I used to have these camouflage pants and camouflage shirt and a really warm jacket and a camouflage hat and an orange vest, and I had the rifle and all the shell, the cartridges and all that stuff. I couldn't find that stuff now if my life depended on it. But there are times in life we got to be ready, and some of our full armor has been lost. Some of us are leaning on some armor that really hadn't been updated since 1968. But if we're going to be the church, not only for ourselves and our family and those that are dearest to us, and be the church for all of us, we've got to have new armor. It's got to be fresh armor, it's got to be polished armor, and it's got to be ready. Because not only do we need it for each other, we need it for the world. I was watching the news, which I don't really often do, but it was at lunch, and they were talking about airline attendants. They're now sending them back to self-defense school with marshals to learn how to handle irate passengers. Terrible. One airline, I know some airlines are going to stop serving alcohol on flights because it's so rampant of anger and just all that going on. We know the stories about restaurants where the servers are being treated badly. We see it in the grocery store where people are being just unbelievably mean to the people who check us out. All of that, and I'm saying that we, the church, need to put on our full armor of God every single day to be the light and hope and joy and peace and grace to a world that's dying for somebody to be gracious to them. And it's easy to talk about it in church and in Sunday school, but every single morning, we got to find our armor and put it on. The world is dying for us to have our armor on. Because in this world right now, it would be very easy to see the light and love of Jesus in the society and in the culture. Wouldn't it? If you think about how dark the world is right now, the light is easy to see in the darkness. So our question today, how ready are you to put on the full armor of God? Not just for you and your family and the arrows that you will face, but the arrows that our church will face and the world and all the arrows that the world faces. You see, when Paul wrote this, he was in prison. And I'm guessing he had doubts. Because his prayer was that they would pray for him where that he would be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus fearlessly. Fearlessly. Which makes me think that he had some fear in his life. He knew that we needed to be in union and be in unity with each other and with him so that we could be the church to pray for him. If we want our church to grow, we want our church to be close, we want to be able to put on the full armor of God, we've got to pray for each other and tell people we're praying for them and pray for them. Pray for each other. Hold each other accountable. Love them unconditionally. And let's put on the armor of God together. Let us pray. Lord God, help some of us find our armor. Help all of us polish our armor. And help us all put it on each and every day. Not just for us as individuals. Not just for us, my family, or your family, but for your family, oh God, who needs to know Jesus. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.